This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Wes, the headline today, this morning, involves women's basketball because you had an epic tilt. Number 3 Louisville, number 4 NC State last night. And given all the hype, as you pointed out, for the first three quarters, you're thinking, man, what happened? Mm-hmm. But man, alive. Magic back in Reynolds Coliseum in the fourth. NC State with an epic comeback win.
Diamond Johnson, 14 of her 16, come in quarter four last night to take the Wolfpack to a 9-point win. They outscored Louisville 31-8 in the fourth. It looks like a misprint, and it's not. Wes Moore's team, it was not going well through three. Let's put it that way. Louisville was delivering on the defensive end. I thought Olivia Cochran and Emily Inksler were really neutralizing the inside. And all of a sudden, it looked like the Wolfpack might be in trouble and Louisville was just going to keep on rolling. That was not the case. Going into last night, it's an amazing stat. NC State had a 14-point deficit going to the fourth quarter. Teams that's trailed by that much in that spot were 3-1,278 this year.
It's not very good.
And the Wolfpack found a way to win. Louisville was 83-1 over five seasons when it had a halftime lead of double digits.
Well, what I think makes it more remarkable, and again, these are two elite teams.
Right.
These are Final Four national championship-worthy clubs, so hence the hype. But the fact that Louisville was number one in the country in defensive efficiency,
yeah,
and you're up 14, you would have said, hey, Coach Walls, you got one quarter. You're up 14, and you play the best defense in the country. You like your chances?
Mm-hmm.
Man, who would?
I mean, right.
You're thinking this game is really over. Like,
yep.
You know, it'd be one thing to say we're a great offensive team, but we leak on the defensive end so somebody can make a rally. Not when you play great defense. And they had won 15 straight games. NC State had won 15 straight in the ACC. And they go 31-8 in the final period. And by the way, Louisville scored the last 4 points of the game. So at one point in time, with 45 seconds to go in a game, that's a 31-4 spread in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Against the number 3 team in the country.
Yeah.
An incredible performance.
We had a graphic we showed you in hour one. I think we still got it handy. We showed you the first three quarters versus the fourth quarter for the Wolfpack. I mean, look at the first three quarters. 1-13, 29% from the floor. I mean, every look was defended. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what Wes Moore had in that huddle at the quarter break, Pack. But it was pretty good. 79% from the floor. And by the way, all five of the threes were absolutely legit. I mean, there was no standing on the lines. I think Diamond Johnson cut one loose from the strutting wolf.
Yeah, there's no doubt. She scored 16 for the game coming off the bench. And even for fun, not only was she making all the threes, but she gave you a little stutter step the layup late, which is just brilliant. But these are two great teams, man. I mean, they put on a show in the fourth quarter. And I think if you're a Louisville women's basketball fan today, you're like, man, did that really happen? It kind of felt like one of those deals. But I'm not selling either one of these teams short. I think they can both get to the Final Four. I really do. They are really well coached, big time talent, big time team, great crowd, standing room only last night, rightfully so. It was a great, to me, if you didn't see anything, you turned on the fourth quarter, you went, man, this is a great, great sign for women's basketball. Great intensity, two good clubs getting after one another. I mean, it was fantastic.
Let's hope we get it at least one more time, if not two more times, right? For more on the game, let's go ride with our Nothing But Net crew. Kelly Gramlich, the Hall of Fame coach Muffet McGraw, Chelsea Gray, and here's Kelsey Riggs.
Mark and Wes sitting here with Coach Muffet McGraw, Kelly Gramlich, and Chelsea Gray, and what a spectacular top five matchup we had between Louisville and NC State. Guys, if games ended in the third quarter, we would be having a much different conversation than the one that we're actually having right now, because NC State turned it on down the stretch. Outscored Louisville 31-8 in the fourth quarter. They were trailing by 14 as they got ready to start the final quarter of this game. And Kelly, when you look at what they were able to do, Diamond Johnson, 14 of her 16 points in the fourth quarter, how were they able to be so dominant? Well, first of all, they stayed in the game mentally because a lot of other teams would have checked out of this game when you're down 14 at half and down 14 heading into the fourth quarter. And then they finally made some threes. This was the best three-point shooting team in the nation. Diamond Johnson was the big catalyst. But if you can make threes, you're never out of a ball game. I think that's what happened with NC State.
Yeah, I think they turned up the pressure. They felt that pride. It was like, well, okay, we got to win on our home floor. Their crowd was into it. You know, there was basketball is a game of runs. And Louisville has some turnovers that really, really hurt them. It fueled them in transition, allowed them to get threes. And once Diamond Johnson got hot, there was no stopping her.
Yeah, you know, if I'm Westmore, I see my whole season passing before my eyes at halftime. And I'm making my concession speech and I'm thinking, where do we go from here?
Don't be dramatic.
And then to see the way that team came out in the fourth quarter, what confidence they play with. Diamond Johnson certainly led it. But Ja'Kia Brown-Turner goes 4 for 4, a couple of free throws. She had a great fourth quarter, too.
And we talked to Diamond Johnson after the game, who told us that coach didn't have to say much at halftime. When that clipboard hit the ground, you knew it was game time and they needed to come out differently in the second half. On the flip side of things, Chelsea, is Louisville, who dominated three quarters of that game, still a top five team. I'm sure there won't be much change after a performance like that. But what does Louisville need to learn from this game?
What their identity is when it gets down the stretch. They went away from what they were good at. They were having some careless turnovers. If I'm a point guard, I go back and say, hey, that's my fault. But I think you look back and you say, Emily Engsler, Haley Van Lith, that's my go-to players. Kiana Smith in there. Those are my go-to players of when I need a bucket, when I need to stop a run. Not forget that Olivia Cochran was the hot hand tonight as well. So I'm sprinkling those pieces, and that's going to get it done down the stretch. But I'm learning how to close out games, because when it comes tournament time, it's win or go home.
Louisville's identity is defense, right? And sometimes, this is just my humble opinion, Coach, if I'm wrong, let
me. Never having played any defense.
So true. And that's why I'm going to make this point not about defense. Sometimes great offense trumps great defense. And I thought that's what we saw from NC State. Diamond Johnson was just on a different level. Ja'Kia Brown-Turner, they made some really difficult shots. And so when that's happening, when you can't rely on your defense, can you make some big shots in the fourth quarter? Louisville has done that at times this year, but they couldn't do it in that game.
But NC State got some wide open looks. So I think it was the Louisville defense. I think they're going to have to look at that and see, what did we do wrong in the fourth quarter that we did so well in the first three?
NC State has now won 16 straight conference games. Not easy to do in a league that has six teams that are ranked in the top 25. Go ahead and potentially circle March 6th on your calendar. That is the ACC championship game. We'll see what happens, because there's a lot of talent around the ACC, but I know that Louisville is hoping that they get another shot at NC State, guys.
All right.
Ladies do a nice job, don't they? They're on top of their game, man.
They are, indeed. Indeed. Yeah, I bet Louisville is hoping. And again, I hope we see it twice. I hope we see it in Greensboro. I hope we see it in the NCAA tournament.
When it really matters.
Final Four, right?
That's possible. That's not a reach. That's not one of those crazy, you know, got the pom-poms out. Those are two teams that flat out can be in the Final Four and play for a national title.
Yeah.
There's no question.
Men's side is not as top-heavy.
Not even close.
Okay.
We got one ranked team. The women have six.
And we do have a glob game of the weekend, though, on the men's side.
A pair of globbers.
Which one do you like better?
I like them both because of what's at stake. I mean, you can't, you know, it's like saying, which kid do you like better? I like them both. They're different. In fact, both of these games are different. And I think there's a different vibe on both these games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, Louisville's got to show me something here, right? Louisville's
sure.
The one that kind of went on a little bit of a slide to get by BC. Here comes Notre Dame. We're going to fire up a bunch of threes.
Right.
You know, Mike Bray was not real thrilled losing the game against Virginia Tech where they let a double-digit lead get away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're a team that's certainly capable of winning. I think Louisville's the team that's going to kind of find some mojo. I mean, Chris Mack the other day is talking about, hey, I've tried everything to find some kind of incentive for these guys to motivate them, and I haven't found it. I mean, that's a coach now in week 10 of a season, and you're in a world where basketball matters at Louisville. So I think a different vibe of Louisville, Notre Dame versus Wake Forest in North Carolina tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think Notre Dame, Louisville is one set of issues. Carolina at Wake Forest, another set.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, Louisville, by the way, is the third game of kind of an ACC triple header over on ESPN. And Carolina, Wake Forest is tomorrow night in Winston-Salem. Now, Tar Heel Deacon games are always interesting, and especially so in Winston-Salem. because there's plenty of history. Now, the kids on the floor don't have any idea about Rod Griffin, Jerry Schellenberger. They don't have any idea about Skip Brown, Kenny Green, right? Rodney Rogers against like Sam Perkins and Phil Ford and all those guys that played years ago. But what they do know is, in Wake Forest's case, you lost at Duke. You've yet to play NC State. You get them twice in about a three-week span coming up. But you want to make your statement, kind of put your flag in the ground, be the Swiss again, right, Pac? You want to get that whole Swiss thing going?
Well,
get Carolina tomorrow.
Well, when Wake's good, there's intrigue.
Yeah, there is.
For a lot of years, North Carolina just dominated the series, and hey, Wake could get excited and get punched in the face, and the game's over. I don't think that's the case anymore.
Deeks had won 4 out of 5 and looked good doing it.
Yeah, and you know, Coach Forbes got them fired up. And again, losing to Duke at home, there's no shame in that. But they did run Florida State out of the gym.
Right.
And the thing that's impressed me about Wake is they've been able to go on the road and win. They win by 19 at Virginia Tech. They rally to win at Virginia. They beat Georgia Tech in Atlanta for the first time since 04. You know, that to me is a sign of a good team. Everybody's normally pretty good at home. But when you can take it on the road and win,
yeah,
you might have something. I think Coach Forbes might have something. And for North Carolina, you know, we've seen some efforts like the Purdue, the Tennessee, the Kentucky, and this last game against Miami where you kind of shake your head and you go, who are these guys?
Yeah.
You also see efforts against Michigan where they played terrific, where they blow out Virginia, had to hose down 25 at home, run Georgia Tech out of the building where you're just like, hey, can we just have a running clock? So what North Carolina team am I going to get, right? The one that's dialed in. And I got to figure the way they got beat down the other night in Coral Gables.
Right.
I got to figure Hubert made it really crystal clear from an effort standpoint on the defensive end. Guys, you know what you got to do. So big time game tomorrow with Wake Forest and North Carolina.
Yeah, they got another game with Duke coming up on February the 15th, two with NC State and this one with Carolina. So that's kind of where everything sets up for the Deeks. And look, Wake Forest, because of their schedule, you know, when you look, I looked at Miami's kind of road home deal at the end. That's why, you know, I think Wake Forest can get the double bye. I'm not sure they can win the regular season, but I think they can achieve the double bye with the way the schedule sets up. But man, they've got, look at, I mean, just roll off their last six games. Miami at home, at Duke, Notre Dame at home, at Clemson, Louisville at home, NC State at home. They do get three of their last four at home.
Well, this is why I keep going back to right now, today, January 21st, today, this second, Miami, Florida State, Duke. Put them over here. They're over there.
Yep.
Then you get the glob. Right? There's really five teams right now in the glob, and four of them are going to play tomorrow against each other. So that's why these are incredibly important, because out of the glob, hopefully we can get maybe two more teams that can become NCAA tournament eligible. But to do it, you can't keep splitting. You got to start getting on a run. And so when you start talking about Wake and North Carolina and Louisville and Notre Dame, and I'd throw Virginia in there as the other member of the glob, if you will, and Virginia's got a road trip to NC State, the Wolfpack's got to start winning some games at home. These are all critically important because nobody was able to separate themselves with non-conference quality wins.
That's it.
And so you've got to dominate within your league.
Yep.
And so there's three we feel good about. And of the glob of five, man, hopefully a couple can emerge and go on runs. So we'll see.
All right. Time out. When we come back, been waiting all week. True or false?
Oh, it's back.
Yeah. Okay. True or false? Is this its first edition of 2022? I don't know. We've been doing some crazy stuff. Josh Macri back to host the segment next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
One-stop shop for everything ACC basketball. The men's edition continues on Saturday night following Carolina Wake Forest from the Twin Cities. Kelsey Riggs will be there with Luke Hancock, Carlos Boozer, Joel Berry. And then next Thursday night, you'll get a women's edition with that same crew that just joined us a moment ago. Nothing but net, the heart of it all on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. A little band from Jacksonville brings us back.
Yeah. Dog walking music, a little Lynyrd Skynyrd. Nothing wrong with that.
I like that.
Especially if it's loud. Call me the breeze. Woo. All right, let's go up. Speaking of breezes, let's go up there, a nice balmy Bristol, Connecticut.
Where is he?
The voice of victory, preparing for the big upset tomorrow. Jim Boeheim rolls in to see his buddy for the last time at Cameron Indoor Stadium. That would be Josh Macri. The voice of victory.
I chose the wrong day to wear my blue and white check shirt.
I think that, I think it's a oh, great
You guys
shirt.
Are matching. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. Well, you know, we exchanged texts last night. Hey, are you wearing your check shirt?
That's great.
Yeah, right. I think it's nice that you got on a little Duke blue today before tomorrow, because I know you're excited about Boeheim rolling down there, taking care of business.
Of course. also excited about a little true or false before Justin Mutz joins us in 8-9 minutes or so.
True.
So without further ado, let's get right into it. So earlier this week, as you recall, you guys named your midseason all-conference teams. Of course, as we know, this year, more than any really in recent memories, there are a number of ACC schools likely on the bubble. With that said, true or false, the ACC Men's Player of the Year this season will come from a team that does not end up qualifying for the NCAA tournament. The last time that happened, 2013, when Eric Green did it. Of course, he split the Player of the Year that year. The last unanimous Player of the Year not to make the tournament, do you know who it is?
Last unanimous player not to make the tournament?
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Trivia time on Packer and Durham.
Yeah, it is.
Always leads to
It's a bar bet.
It always leads to great dead air.
It's a bar bet. I don't know, Josh, off the top of my head.
Well, if you knew where to look, which is your show note, it would be right there. It was David Thompson in 1975. But anyway, on to today's
Whoa,
question.
Wait. Hold on.
Trick question.
Okay. All right, never mind.
Trick
Go ahead.
Question.
Go ahead.
I mean, the answer is true. But anyway, this year, true or false? True or false?
All right. That the player of the year false. I mean, look, I love Darion Sebron. I think he's tremendous. If Wake Forest gets anywhere near the top, could be Alondis Williams, could be Armando Bacot, could be Paolo Banchero. Thought at one point Wendell Moore had a chance back and still may. As much as I love what Sebron does, if NC State does not – he'll be first team, but he will not be the player of the year.
I agree with that. The answer to your question is false.
Thank you. Next one, true or false. We were talking earlier about teams that rise in the standings after January 21st. True or false, a team currently in eighth or lower in the ACC standings will end up earning a double bye in this year's ACC men's basketball tournament.
False.
False. You're not going to bet on the Hokies here?
I like the Hokies. I've told you all year I like
Justin
the Hokies.
Justin Mutz coming up in about 5 minutes, by the way.
I hear you. But the question is, can they be 1, 2, 3, or 4? I think the answer is no.
So you'd be looking at Virginia down here for the purposes of this question.
Yeah, I mean, Virginia Tech's the one that has now put two in a row together after a slow start, and we just showed you those teams that have had the increase. So you know the history's there for it in 18 games. We haven't seen it as pronounced in 20 conference games, that is. Virginia would be one to consider. I thought the other night they kind of looked the part, but they're still indifferent in the middle. I'm going to say false.
I tell you what, had Virginia given me another week of 70 or more points, I would have said true.
Okay. That's a good
point. And that's my problem with Virginia, that there are times they just don't score.
Yeah.
And I think that eventually I've seen enough now where there's, hey, one step forward, two steps back. You're right. And it just – I thought after the Syracuse-Clemson wins on the road, when they put 70-plus in one, I was thinking, all right, Virginia might have found it.
Right.
And then there's the Wake Forest game. It's 47-40, and they decide to go, I don't know, 6-7 minutes, and don't score a basket. And – it's just hard to win games consistently, no matter how well you play defensively.
Yeah.
Eventually, Kelly Graham looks right. You got to be able to score.
Yeah, got to put the ball in the back. Kelly knows. because she willingly admits she didn't guard anybody, but she could
Muffet
score.
Muffet with a little subtle shot.
Yeah, there. Muffet. Well, you know. Muffet been calling shots lately. All right, next. Sorry.
Well, let's see if we can get through a couple more here before Mr. Mutz at the bottom of the hour. Louisville-Notre Dame play this weekend, as we've covered. What we have not noted yet is that the teams are a combined 7-0 in games decided by 5 or less this season. The 5 or less thing has been a highlight of the year in the ACC. True or false, the winning margin tomorrow, 5 or less?
False.
You're quick on that one. Why?
I am. I just don't see it. The game is going to be played behind the line tomorrow. This game will be played behind the line. I mean, there could be, and I'm not kidding here, there could be 50 combined three-point attempts in that game tomorrow.
So you're taking the approach of this game, like I said yesterday, I don't even know if this was on the air, about the NC State-Louisville basketball game that I thought the winner would win by 8 or more.
Yeah. I'm taking at least, I would say 6, 7, 8, somewhere in there, okay. 6 to 10. But I think there'll be 50 combined three-point attempts in the game tomorrow.
See, Louisville's so weird.
Notre Dame's not?
They are, too. I mean, this is why they're in
the glob.
Glob
game of the weekend.
It's a globber, man. Yeah. I mean, dice roll this one. Yeah. David Cutcliffe style.
All right, next.
Last one here. Virginia Tech, 2 straight conference wins.
Yeah.
Their leading scorer in both has been Justin Mutz. He's been averaging 19.5 points per game in the Hokies' last 2. That said, over the course of the season, Keve Aluma scores 5 a game more than Mutz. True or false, Justin Mutz will lead Virginia Tech in scoring against the Boston College Eagles. And keep in mind who might be watching.
And the Packer and Durham boost is in play tomorrow.
Yeah, you get the bump.
True. Yeah, true. Why wouldn't you say true? I mean, it has been shown to be fact, most of the time, that you appear on this show, things go well, right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
it's not 100% of the time, but
most of the time,
more times than not.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody has a spectacular performance after an appearance on P&D.
Yeah, there you go. That's all I got for you, Josh, on that. Great job on True False, right?
By the way, Voice of Victory, before you disappear from us.
Your favorite Syracuse Duke moment?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I want to know your pick tomorrow at Cameron Indoor. Ooh. Big man.
Ooh. Oh, we're going to get the CJ Fair jersey out tomorrow, aren't we?
I don't have a CJ jersey. Might rock the Jerry McNamara jersey, but boy, I'd love to see Syracuse win. I think Duke's a really good basketball team. Let's leave it at that.
That's a great answer, but except it's not the answer to the question. The question is, who's going to win the game? What happens tomorrow? I know you love Syracuse and all that stuff.
It's been well documented, Josh. You can raise the flag a little bit here.
I mean, it's okay. You could say, hey, we're going to go get smoked like salmon. I mean, you could say that for all I care.
I'm not going to say that. I give the edge to Duke, but I think Syracuse can keep it close.
Inside 5?
I mean, not that close.
Okay. All right. Mark the tape.
All right.
Mark the tape.
When we come back on this program, another spectacular edition of True or False.
True.
Thank you. Justin Mutz will join us.
Debut?
That's exactly right. Millville, Delaware's Justin Mutz. What an exciting player for Mike Young, and the Hokies are rolling in part because he's turned it up too. We're looking forward to visiting with Justin Mutz next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. No. You opened the door. The boys are ready to go. Chase rabbits.
Back up.
Yeah, I know. You're looking for
snowflakes.
Checking
for snow.
Yeah.
No snow.
That would be false.
Yeah. True or false? Snow? False.
False.
Get Al Conklin on the phone.
He's busy looking at European model.
All right. Welcome back. Justin Mutz has had 20 or more in 2 of the last 5. He has had double figures in 3 of the last 5. But it's the last 2 that we're here to focus on right now, Mark Packer. The last 2 games. Because, Justin, all that stuff prior to last Saturday doesn't count, right? We're now living in this new world, correct?
Exactly, yeah.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you. So what's changed in the last week? Is it just winning? Is that do it all?
I wouldn't say there's all too much of a big shift, you know, in our program. Really just trying to stay aggressive and just keep trying to attack with great energy every game. You know, we dropped a couple. You know, we hit a little lull in the middle of the season, but I thought we started it off really well and just trying to get back going.
But I know we're going to talk hoops, but I want to brag about you a second. I'll let you brag. You know, we use that term student athlete all the time. And I want to give you credit, man, because you define student athlete. Just describe to folks what you've gone through from an academic perspective and really what the goal is for you moving forward.
Well, I was able to graduate from Delaware after 3 years of my undergrad in psychology. I transferred to VT last year. I was able to get my first master's degree, and now I'm working on my second in educational psychology. I really value school. I value education. I feel as though I'm in an amazing position, a huge opportunity for me to, you know, take advantage of it. So, you know, why not go for it all?
So the deal is you're going to walk out with 3 degrees, 2 masters and an undergrad, and basketball will be the trampoline to get it done, right?
Yeah, you know, basketball is giving me unbelievable opportunities in my life, and I just try to make the most out of them all. You know, I was able to meet amazing people, be put in unbelievable situations. So,
Justin, what was it about Mike Young? What was it about Virginia Tech for you?
Mike Young is one of the best coach I've ever had in my life. You know, he's just an amazing person, away from basketball, just a great person to know, you know. And my decision to come here, I was able to form a great relationship with all of the coaches here. You know, I feel as though they had a great program going already, and, you know, I just want to be a part of something special.
Well, again, I just want to go back real quick to the academic part. I love the fact that you have embraced the fact that given the opportunity to get a scholarship to play a sport is awesome. But that's the icing on the cake. The cake is getting a degree. The icing is the experiences, the people, the travel, the people you get a chance to meet. And if you happen to win a championship along the way or whatever the case may be, that's, I mean, that's terrific. But the fact that you're walking away with 3 degrees, Justin, I tip my cap to you. And, you know, if every single student athlete had your approach, we would all be better off, quite frankly. So congratulations on doing the hard work and having fun playing hoops.
I appreciate you. I mean, I'm grateful to be here, honestly.
As far as the game, though, with Boston College, there is a thing called momentum. It happens in a game all the time. It also happens in a season. Do you get a sense, given the importance of that win last week against Notre Dame at home, which you really had to have, and then holding on for dear life at NC State, do you get a sense that momentum, as far as the season is concerned, is right now for this Virginia Tech team?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel as though now is the perfect time for us to really make something happen. I think we have like 4 or 5 games in the next 10 days, and I think this is the perfect opportunity for us to, you know, flip the story that's being told about VT and really make something special happen.
Yeah, it seems to be like there's a timing element in all of this. Last year, we all know it was crazy with everything going on and still trying to schedule games, but the timing element now seems to be with some of the adjustments, and you guys fall into that category. I know you got a Monday night game in Chapel Hill, things of that nature. But it forces you, I guess, to lock in on the game at hand, right? I mean, we can sit here and talk about down the road, and I'm really good at projecting and talking about things a month from now. But in the case of guys who are playing and coaching, you almost have to fall into the silo of that game, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all we can control at this point is today. You know, we can't even control the Boston College game right now. You know, just got to try to win the day. Coach Young made a really big point about that after the NC State game. You know, just win tomorrow. Just focus on that because there's so much out of your control. You know, when that time comes for us to be on the court, we're going to be ready.
Justin, you guys have had 2 ball games, obviously both wins, where you've had like double-figure situations, either up or down, come into play. I mean, that start the other night in Raleigh, that didn't seem like that was happening, did it? I mean, here you go, the first 8 minutes, you guys are scoring, they're not. And then all of a sudden, like in the second half, a cannon shot got fired out of the NC State bench. Take me through the mentality of the game, not the X's and O's, just how was it mentally to get through something like that?
Yeah, NC State, you know, they got a lot of really good players, you know, really good coaching staff as well. I thought we started the game off, you know, executing the game plan really well, you know, guys making plays. In that second half, I really thought they came out with a different kind of energy about them. You know, they came out ready to ready to really make a lot of plays happen. They had a lot of really good players, younger guys, some older guys, you know. I think that team's going to be really good down the line. Mm. They were definitely fun playing in the game, you know, in that kind of environment. Definitely in a PNC Arena, you know, that was cool too. But for sure, I mean, I think that game was definitely a good test for us, and we definitely got better from it.
All right, BC tomorrow. The Eagles, I mean, I know you watch tape. They're down 23 at Little John. They come back, win the game.
Yeah.
They're starting to play with a ton of confidence. They were good enough to beat Notre Dame at home. As you well know, anytime you go on the road in this league, you got to strap it on real tight. So what do you see with BC tomorrow?
I mean, it's the ACC. You know, every team is good. Every team has an opportunity to really, you know, put a team away early in any game. So if you're not coming out ready to play, then you know, you never know what the outcome is going to be. So that's why it just comes down to just staying present, you know, doing everything you can in preparation, you know, to be ready for it. And I feel as though we're doing our part over here, so we're ready to go.
Justin, does it feel like you got to remember, as much as you try and go game to game and day to day, you still got to remember there's a month and change of basketball left? I mean, there is this long game you have to play, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you don't want to be hot in, you know, November, December. You know, you want to be hot in March. You know, you want to be hot when it really counts. You want to win games when it actually matters. So, I mean, not to say that the past couple of losses that we had did not matter, but they definitely did. But I feel as though to hit our stride at the right time is the most important piece of it all.
You know, you've obviously shown the ability to score. From your experiences at Virginia Tech, who's been the toughest defender? Who's the guy that, hey, when he's on you, you go, man, I got my hands full?
I think there's a lot of defenders in the ACC that, you know, really bring a lot of good energy. The guy from, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, not to be disrespectful, the guy from Georgia Tech, they're four. He's a pretty good, really active defender.
Jordan Usher?
Jordan Usher. Yeah, I think he's really good, really athletic, you know, really active. He brings a lot of good energy to their team, too, so.
All right, I want to ask you, and I'm not sure you guarded this guy exclusively the other night. I think a lot of people in this league are fascinated by Darion Sebron at NC State and just kind of what all that is on that frame. I mean, you're a bigger guy. You're a 6'7 guy. You handle the ball on the perimeter. You shoot it well. You defend well. Sebron, Packer calls him Plastic Man. I mean, Justin, it's wild to watch. What's it like to be on the floor when you see the guy coming at you and you're thinking, okay, he's in transition and he's full head of steam, like?
Yeah, man, he's such a dynamic player. I think he's really good getting to the basket, really good finishing with either hand, super athletic. I think he has no ceiling. That guy could be really good. He's continuing to come into it every day, every game. So, you know, I'm excited to see what the future holds for him, especially with that team. You know, you see him coming in transition. You know, you really got to load up. You really got to, you know, build a wall that he can't, that try to force him not to be able to get through. But then he's also a good passer too. So, you know, you just got to be aware of all that stuff. So, no, that's a good player right there.
Justin, who is the biggest practical joker on this team?
On our team?
Yeah.
We got a lot of clowns on our team. I would say either Jalen or Storm Murphy, two of the funnier guys.
Whoa, wait a second. Can't be Murphy. Yeah. Cannot be Murphy. No. You know
Storm,
why?
Storm Lutz, is funny.
Here's why Storm can't be the practical joke. He looks like his mom just dropped him off. I mean, come on now. I mean, he looks like he just got dropped off to play at the game, right?
He does. I think Hunter's really funny, too. He has that kind of the office sense of humor about him, and The Office is the best show to me, so I just think he's hilarious.
Well, you got to have those guys, man. Every team's got to have at least one or two dudes that are a little off-center to just keep everybody loose, because everybody's going to go through highs and lows in the season, and you guys have certainly done that already.
Yeah.
And hopefully now hitting on a high spot moving forward. I'm going to ask you a traditional question, and I'm really curious to get your answer, given that we've already talked about your academic success. But since you've been at Virginia Tech, what has been your hardest class?
Since I've been at Virginia Tech, I can't say any of the classes I've taken have been all too difficult, just due to the fact that they're my interest, you know, especially when you're doing, you know, grad school, you're taking classes that you're really kind of interested in, the specifics of them. So I think they haven't been all of that difficult, but, you know, the classes I've been taking this year have been more, definitely extremely interesting to me, just learning how to, you know, really apply the educational psychology aspect to it and how to, you know, be that mentor, that guider, that figure in that environment. So, I mean, I'm excited to be able to apply that at some point in the future, but I don't know how it'll all work out just yet. You know, I'm just trying to, like I said earlier, just living in the moment.
Can you apply it to this team?
Absolutely. You know, just trying to be a role model to the younger guys. You know, it's my fifth year in college, so, you know, just being able to, you know, be a role model and show them, you know, right from wrong through my perspective, you know, also just being able to be a leader, and then also just trying to get the best out of people around me. So, yeah, I mean, I definitely am able to apply that stuff now, and I'm able to use that experience in the future at some point. I don't know how just yet, but I'll figure it out.
I tell you what, I'll even give you the benefit because I know you've kind of had a circuitous route to your college career since leaving Jersey. What's been your hardest class in college?
Well, I think statistics for sure. Just those math classes, they're not the best for me. Those are some people's strengths, but
not mine,
they're,
Coach.
They're not mine. Nope. Yeah, not me.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, Packer's the math guy on this show, Justin.
Hey, more respect to you.
Justin, no, don't respect me. Dude, nothing but props to you for what you're getting done in the classroom, man. Seriously, if you walk away with 3 degrees and a lifetime of memories playing basketball and having fun doing it, that's what life's all about. So congratulations on all of your success.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, fun to have you with us. Good luck this weekend.
For sure. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Justin Mutz of Virginia Tech, Millville, New Jersey.
You know, that right there is what college sports is all about. Now, we can sit here and talk about wins and losses hey, you won a championship, or if you're lucky and enough, hey, we won a national title, whatever. But at the end of the day, given the fact that less than 2% are going to go on to play professional sports, the object of every single student athlete the second they get on campus is to get a degree. And for a gentleman like Justin Mutz to come on here and go, guess what? A sport gives me an opportunity to get on campus. Let me take advantage of what it offers me. And to walk away with 3 degrees, it's awesome. It's a great story. It's the ultimate story.
Just to give you the roundabout, played 1 year of basketball at High Point in the Big South, then transferred to Delaware in the CAA, and then transferred to Virginia Tech. So this is third school, the undergrad degree at Delaware, and is working on a second master's degree at Virginia Tech.
But to have the incentive to say, hey, listen, I'm here, so let me take advantage of what college can give you, because it's there for any student, not just a student athlete, and want to become better educated to put yourself in a better position once you get away from school. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So I love stories like that.
Clearly,
good for him.
Clearly has a path, and he's a joy to talk to. As we say all the time, the stars of the show are young people like that.
Exactly right. And we get a chance to know a little bit behind the scenes with goofy questions and all that kind of stuff and give them a little personality. But, man, if you're a Virginia Tech fan, you saw that interview and you went, you know what? I'm proud to be a Hokie. That guy represents what we're all about.
That's it. And if you just like the ACC, that's what it's all about.
That's what this league is about.
Yep. On the other side, we got the Bojangles weekend menu. And a friend of the show and a colleague of ours at ACC Network is a finalist for a terrific and tremendous honor. We'll share that with you and more, including a change in our Friday night duels after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And Durham. Final segment of the week. It's good having you back in the basement, man. I know you're about ready to hit the road again. Be careful.
Tiger Town.
Heavy snow between here and Clemson. See, have we got a snowflake out there yet? No. You're going to be all right.
We checked like 4 times. Nothing.
The European model says we're going to get hit again tonight. That's what I heard.
Headed to Clemson, be with Perry Clark tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
How about that?
Middle game of our triple header.
That is a loser leave town match, dude. I'm telling you. Pitt Clemson.
And that takes us to the Bojangles weekend menu. Look at the symmetry of this show. All the way through on a Friday, kids. We run through the tape here. Weekend menu brought to you by Bojangles. Friday night duels had a change there. Virginia Tech, NC State, there's a forfeit on behalf of the Hokies, so we're going to swap over and send you to Carmichael Arena for Duke and North Carolina. They have dueled 48 times Duke has won twice since 1974.
Well, it could be worse.
Could be.
Could be. There's some folks have gone to Carmichael Arena and never won a game there.
That's it.
And
yeah.
anything.
That's it.
But North Carolina, one of four ACC wrestling programs ranked.
That's it. Virginia, Virginia Tech, and NC State, the other three, correct?
Pitt.
Or Pitt. I'm sorry, Pitt, you not got Virginia.
You've got to get Pitt in there. NC State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina.
That's it. Three games tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Virginia, NC State from Raleigh, 6 o'clock, Pitt and Clemson from Little John, 8 o'clock. The old venerable rivalry of the Tar Heels and the Deacons at 8 o'clock from the Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem. Sunday, a quadruple header. A top 20 game with North Carolina, Georgia Tech starts at noon from Atlanta. Wake Forest visiting number 3 Louisville at 2. Mm. Virginia Tech, NC State at 4. I like
That's
that one.
That's a good one right
And then
there.
Carol Lawson and 21st-ranked Duke welcome Virginia to Cameron at 6. That's Sunday's quadruple header of women's basketball. It's all part of the spectacular Bojangles weekend menu.
Yeah, that Virginia Tech NC State women's game Sunday can't be a hangover effect for the Pack now because the Hokies are playing good basketball. They should be ranked.
How about Kunane and Kitley will be worth the price of the big ticket and your viewership on
big
Sunday.
Time talent inside, no question.
All right. Congratulations this morning to our friend Debbie Antonelli, who last night at halftime was named a finalist for induction into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. It'll be announced on Valentine's Day, the class of 2022. Debbie is in the contributor category. On a personal note, I will say this. There's nobody in my mind who champions the cause of women's basketball from not just a playing perspective, but a broadcasting perspective, which everybody else knows. The other thing is this, too. She's done a tremendous job bringing stories to you of the young women that play the sport. And that's one of the reasons, I mean, she has championed that sport in particular for the better part of 25 years.
I'm rooting for her.
Absolutely.
Openly rooting for her.
Yep.
It'd be such a great tribute. I know she'll downplay it and go that route, but man, everybody's rooting for Debbie.
And
she's
was
a wonderful person.
Terrific player at NC State for Coach Yao, and she's been obviously very involved in the K Yao movement. For breast cancer research and all the things tied to that with women's basketball. So our very best wishes and best of luck to Debbie Antonelli, who's one of 12 finalists for induction into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame.
On a totally separate note, it really doesn't have anything to do with the league, but I'm still surprised that Huggy Bear is not in the Hall of Fame. Aren't you?
Yeah, I think – did I hear you mention that with Tim Welsh yesterday?
Yeah, Tim was on yesterday.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Bob Huggins is way overdue into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame. And we're spoiled in this league because most of the outstanding coaches in the ACC ultimately end up in the Hall of Fame, and rightly so. But there are a few, especially in the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame in Springfield, there are a few glaring omissions, and Bob Huggins
will
be at the head of that list. And this Women's Basketball Hall of Fame in Knoxville, by the way, has a phenomenal setup. They've done a marvelous job with that building. They do a great job with the Hall of Fame inductions.
And speaking of Hall of Famers, Syracuse, Duke tomorrow at Cameron Indoor.
Good night.
Got to expect that Duke's going to be a little ticked off coming off an L. And if you're Syracuse, this is your opportunity. If you want to turn this thing around, man, you're talking about the ultimate chance. That's what you've got tomorrow.
Right about that. Thanks, everybody, for a great week. Lisa, tremendous job directing today.
Excellent job.
Josh Macri, the voice of victory, producing this program. Drew Brooks, of course, everybody that helps us go. Thanks to our friends at Nothing But Net for offering some great insight into Louisville and NC State last night.
The ladies are always on top of their game.
That's it.
Excellent last night.
Enjoyed visiting with Russ Smith. His number 2 will be retired tomorrow by the University of Louisville. Thanks to Joe Zagacki, who I'm sure is enjoying some late brunch or breakfast in 70-some-odd degree weather in South Florida, and to Virginia Tech's Justin Mutz.
And to the weather folks, who this week gave us enough fodder to last, I don't know, about as long as all that French toast we're going to have to eat now for the next 3 months. And the accumulation, a little off today, a bit of a whiff, but
so
it's
far,
okay.
So
it's
far, I think the heavy stuff's coming down the street, right?
No different than us trying to pick out winners. No different.
We'll see you Monday morning at 7. Have a great weekend. Have a safe weekend. Thanks for watching on ACC.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.